I want you to know I forgive my wife. I know you're thinking that's magnanimous. You know what she did this week? She went to the dollar store and she bought new bowls. And I knew she did it. So I went to get my oatmeal one day. Sometimes I try to be healthy. And my old familiar bowl was gone. I didn't know we were getting rid of the old ones. Isn't that a stupid example? But aren't we all stupid? Because it bugged me for a second. I said, wait, these things don't even exist in our household anymore? I'm going over to the thrifty shop or wherever they are, and I'm going to find it, but I'm not going to do that. We laugh. God is going to throw away the bowls of New Covenant Community Church. The things that we are familiar with, he's going to move in a new way. And it's going to challenge you, and it's going to challenge me. This is not part of my message. It's something I feel strongly the Lord wants me to share. But that's walking in obedience, and that's trusting him. That's being moved past my comfort zone. This is the way we always did it. Well, this ain't yesterday anymore. So moving right along, oh God, how I need you. Thank you, Bill and Joanne, for singing that. Isn't that something we all need to say? How I need God. I can't do this. Today I'm going to talk about living life looking at Jesus. You know, I shared with you that I'm reading a book by Louis Giglio, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table, and a lot of it's some Psalm 23, and as I'm praying through these verses and I'm reading the book, you know, I like what the Psalm of David writes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Lord God, let us look at these verses. Yes, we're used to reading them at funerals. David writes, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't consume him. It doesn't end him. He goes through because he trusts in you, God. You prepare a table for him in the presence of his enemies. Lord, what he is saying in life, we will have hardships. We will go through the valley of the shadow of death. We will be fellowshipping with you, loving you in the midst of attacks from our enemies. But we have to live our lives fully looking at you, Lord God, to be students of your word, to be men and women of prayer, that when the going gets tough, to know you will never let us down, but you will strengthen us and you will equip us. For as your word says, when we are weak, you're strong. Father, I pray that you would just strengthen us and encourage us today. In your name, amen. You know, I've shared before, but a couple weeks ago, a good friend of mine, Bob Parker, died. And if I think of Bob Parker, I think of campfires. Now, I wasn't a city mouse, but compared to Copenhagen people, I was. And I remember Bob invited me to this campfire at his house, sit around, and it was February. And it's cold. And there's snow everywhere, especially where he lived on the Tug Hill. And I'm trying to build a relationship with this maniac. But it was cold. So I show up, and I had so much stuff in my car that I didn't take out till I saw how cold. I had coveralls. I had more long underwear. I had like 18 hats. I mean, I was prepared to die. So So I get out of the car, and there's Bob with his bonfire, and I knew it was going to be good because there's two things that I like, coffee and hot dogs, and they were both present. So we just sat down, and I mean, we would do this all the time. I remember him and his wife came to our house. He goes, "I'm going to build you a fire pit." And he took about 10 big stones, made a circle, and that was it. And I said, "Won't my yard burn up?" No. So we would do that. So I remember, you know, we would go, and I think I've shared this before, but Bob loved to camp out. He would put a tarp between two trees and just sleep on the ground. And I said, "Where's your bathroom?" "I got a shovel." I said, "I'm leaving at midnight." So that was, I would go, and I would go Friday night at 6:30. We'd eat hot dogs, drink coffee, talk, get killed by mosquitoes, and at midnight, I'm out the door because I'm not doing that. You see, my friend Bob loved me. And when I was with him, life was good. It was just, you know? You know, the devil likes to get us isolated. You know, the devil likes us to think we don't care. I mean, we don't matter. We're insignificant. But you see, next week we're doing a pancake breakfast, and at the end of next month we're going to do a picnic. It's good to fellowship. It's good to hang out. You know, we had a small group meeting the other night just to plan our the breakfast and stuff, and it was just so good to be there and to talk, and maybe we ate ice cream. If you really feel down, Stewart's Peanut Butter Pandemonium is a good lift me up, just saying. There's strength in numbers. That's why church is so important. But we need to cling to our relationship with Jesus Christ, who says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." We're saying, "Oh God, how I need you." We need to live, "Oh God, how I need you." And today I'm talking about together with Jesus. First point I want to make. Today is preparation for tomorrow. I remember my friend Joseph Anochi was visiting our church in Copenhagen. We're just going through a hard time, and life was being life. And he sat down, and we're talking one night. He goes, "You know what? God is using this experience to prepare you for the future." And that's how we have to look at life. You know, today is preparation for tomorrow. If you're chronologically challenged like me, you remember Lionel Richie, "I'm easy like Sunday morning"? We got to be like that. Our attitude has to be California cool rather than New York rush. You know, we just got to sit back and not get overwhelmed by life. We got to have so much fellowship with God that we can say, "Bring it on. I got God with me." Not that I'm asking you to pray for hardship. You know that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have to realize you will get through today. And our focus has to be what I'm going through today, God is going to use me to minister to somebody else in the future. We have to go through hard times in life. Your faith will never grow when you're on easy street. Your faith grows when you're going through a living hell and you see how faithful Jesus Christ is to you. You know, Jesus shared and assured that he'd never leave us because he knows we're going to struggle with the temptation when life gets hard, that God has left us. You know that corny old, maybe it's not corny, what is it, footprints or something like that. There's one set of footprints when my life got hard. God says, "Yeah, man, I'm carrying you." We have to know that when you're going through something, the devil's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you you don't matter. He's going to tell you that your neighbor, he wants you to compare other people. Your neighbor doesn't go through it because God loves them more. That sounds ludicrous, but we all struggle with that. David writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." How about you today? Can you say that? Can you write your own Psalm 23 that goes, "I fear no evil"? Because with Jesus Christ, we shouldn't. Paul writes in Philippians 3:14 that he presses on toward the goal. If you're walking down the street, it's a nice 70-degree day, low humidity. You're just going out for a stroll. You don't have to press on. Life is good. How about it's 100 degrees out, 98% humidity, and you got a 120-pound backpack on, and you got to get somewhere really quick? That's pressing on. Paul writes, I press on. His life wasn't easy when he wrote that. A man who's in prison, a man who's been beaten, et cetera, et cetera. I press on means, yes, life's hard. Too many people quit when life gets hard. Too many Christians fall to the side because they think, if I love Jesus, it's all going to be sunshine and hot dogs. That's not life. Jesus says you will have troubles in this world. And believe me, I know it's hard to live out what I'm saying today. It's hard for me to live it out. But when we're going through things, we have to say, I'm going to press on because God is going to use it. When I'm hanging out with my wife in the back deck, I don't have to press on. Life is good. But when I'm really up against it, man, I press on when life gets hard, when it gets unbearable. We need to be spiritually farsighted, not nearsighted. Not to lift him up too much, but, you know, when I went to the funeral for my friend Bob Parker, this guy was an engineer. He was one of the most intellectual men that I know. He wouldn't read anything unless it was like a textbook. He didn't read for fun, fiction. For 18 years, he battled pituitary gland tumor. It took his eyesight, so at the end, he was blind and he was bedridden. But he's still telling his friends about Jesus. One of his co-workers shared at the funeral how, about 6 months ago, Bob called me and said, hey, Jim, are you still living with that woman? Yeah, that's not what God has for you. You got to get your life straight. So the thing I liked about this testimony was, even though his life was so hard, he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. Though he couldn't read anymore, he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. And I did notice at the funeral, the guy that said that had a wedding ring on. So I'm thinking he listened to my friend Bob. So the next point I want to make, we are all on a spiritual all-star team. I love sports. The best all-star game, in my humble opinion, is Major League Baseball. In part because I went to a lot of games with my dad and it brings back some memories. But, you know, that to me, that's the more realistic game. It was on a few weeks ago and, you know, I'm watching it and they're having fun. But you see these really awesome players. All these great guys in one place. Then I think about who's on my team. See, I'm on Jesus' team. You can have the American League All-Stars. You can have the National League. We're on Jesus' team. That's undefeated. I want to look at 2 Kings 6 through 11. You see, the king of Syria is trying to attack all these people, and it's not working out. It goes, and the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servant, rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. A new covenant. He's praying this for you right now. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. That's what God is doing for us. It might look bleak, but we are surrounded by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're surrounded by all his warriors. We won't be defeated. It looks hard. Yeah, it's always darkest before the dawn. We have to have eyes of faith. Do I think we're going to pray and all of a sudden we're going to see all of God's army in this room? I would love it, but I don't think that's going to happen. But we have to have eyes of faith. That's better than, what is it, the last Lord of the Rings movie, The Return of the King. When the battle really isn't going again, man, these arcs are going to town against all the people, and all of a sudden you look up on the hill, and there's Gandalf the White, and he has this army, and they rush down this hill, he's on his horse, and they just abolish the enemy. See, that's what God has for us. But it looks like we're going to be defeated. I got something better than Gandalf. I got Jesus Christ telling me he's going to move. Now, he ain't going to move when I want him to, because it's going to appear that he's slow. Why is that? Glad you asked. Because that's when faith comes in. When you're up against the wall. When it feels like you've had enough. Don't allow the enemy to occupy your thoughts and your emotions. That's why studies show the more that you are grateful, it changes your mental and emotional outlook. Verse 17, Elijah prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God lets us go through the dark valleys. Yes, you and I are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to get bruised. We're going to get wounded. But we will not be overtaken as long as our focus is on Jesus Christ. And some of you today, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're like Peter. You're strutting out on the water, and all of a sudden you look down and you're sinking because you took your eyes off of God. I want to walk on the water. I don't want to ever go in the water. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I remember I'm 15 years old. I'm in a Babe Ruth All-Star game. How I got there, I don't know. The coach liked me. There's a man on third. Might have been bases loaded, but it sounds better if it's just a man on third. Beaumont's up to bat. Here comes the pitch. Strike three. You missed. I'm glad Jesus' All-Star team is better than the Babe Ruth All-Star team from Morrisville in 1975 or whatever it was. Jesus is saying today, you have to trust Him. In a few moments, we're going to pray. Some of us have been held captive for too long by negative thoughts. See, what we have to do, the last point, is we have to silence the doubt. Sometime this week, in your quiet time, make a list of things you struggle trusting God about. Yes, you're all righteous in telling me you don't have any, but you're also a bunch of liars if you think that. So you go say, "God, this is where I struggle." Then you write it down. Then you give it to Him. And then you burn it up or you rip it up and you don't think about it anymore. And when you start thinking about it, even though I just told you not to, you pray. You focus on God rather than your problems. This is a really cool time of year. NFL training camp's open. They practice fundamentals. These people that make millions of dollars, they practice fundamentals. A lot of the times, if you're running back, what they do is you run through stuff and they hit you with pads and they try to strip the ball from you. Why? So when you're in a game and the defense tries to make you fumble, you're going to know how to hang on to it. You're going to learn in practice. When you go into a crowd, you use two hands, not one, and you will see the people that forget about that during the year and they fumble, and after a while the coach says, enjoy the bench because you ain't playing, son. You prepare a table before me, Psalm 23 says, in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You see, just like in football, the devil wants to strip you of your football, but your football is your faith. He wants you to say, wait a minute, you're going through this hard time. God's left you out of the picture. Or how about this one? You have struggled with this sin forever. It ain't never gonna change. Now, I know you can't relate to that one. You know why that happens? Because we don't surrender. You can't change, newsflash, by yourself. If you have a struggle with something, you can't change without fully surrendering. We fall short when we say, oh, I'm going to do this. If you don't change, if you don't say, God, I need your help, and allow the Holy Spirit to focus on to help you and to help you to change, then you're going to go through the same thing time and time again. You see, Psalm 23 tells us our enemies are alive and well. And they're waiting to pounce. They're waiting to accuse you. They're waiting to lie to you. We have to focus on the table. Now, this is hard for me because there's one thing I don't like to do. It's called eating outside. I mean, there's some restaurants downtown, and I know they're good. I don't want to sit on the sidewalk on West 1st Street and have people watch me eat. I'm sorry, to me, and if you like it, that seems ludicrous. Hey, let me spend money on a meal and look at Wayne's. What a sight. And you have all these people. I remember once we lived in the city and my parents came up and we had this big meal and we're eating outside. It was horrendous because there's people walking by the sidewalk from here and looking at me. You know, I had a dining room that was, you know, it was like a foot from the sidewalk, so when we used to eat at night, even if it was light out, people look in, I shut the blind. I don't want people to watch me eat. I don't want to go outside, and I really don't want to eat a meal in the presence of my enemies. Why? I'm not going to enjoy the steak. I'm going to think that he wants to kill me. But that's where faith comes in. I got to focus on you, Lord. I'm going to focus on you. I'm not going to look over here at these yahoos. I'm going to focus on you, not the ugliness of the world. You know, Melody and I met with a couple the other day. Both of these, they're ministry leaders from another church, and they were telling us how, you know, they struggle with depression. They've struggled with being burnt out. You know, we talked about that. We talked about our experiences. And the main thing that it comes down to in life is focusing on God and what Linda said, walking in obedience. Not telling God what your ministry is going to be, and we all have ministry, but rather, God, what is it you have for me to do today? My enemies are going to get the best of me if I don't keep my eyes on the Lord. You know, in the bulletin today, I just happened to see this. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Would you stand up if you are able to, please? Keep your eyes closed. We need to live our lives focused on Jesus. If you want to be victorious in life, you have to surrender. And you have to take that step, which first says, God, I'm a sinner, I fall short. You have to accept the fact that Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins. But we only get forgiveness, we only get completion / perfection when we ask God to forgive us and we ask Christ to come into our lives and we live for him. And another thing that we have to do is some of us, we have gone down this one rabbit trail time and time again. We have the same struggles that we've had for years, and it just, you get hopeless. You just want to say, you know what, I give up fighting. You're getting closer. Because God does want you to give up. He wants you to give up everything to his lordship, to his leadership. There's some of you that you've just been beaten. Your faith has taken a hit. It's just time to surrender. You need to surrender. What do I mean by that? You need to lay your life down and say, God, I'm yours. I think of the rich young ruler. Jesus let him talk. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. So Jesus put his hand on the one thing that he wouldn't let go of, and that's his riches. It's not that God, it's the only place in the Bible where Jesus did that. It's not that God says we have to give everything we own to him. We just have to give everything we own and everything we are over to his control to allow him to show us how to live. It's time that we rise up. It's time that we have the peace of God which passes all understanding. That regardless of your circumstance, our eyes are focused on Christ and are at peace. So as I close in prayer, my eyes are closed. They're going to remain so. I'm going to ask you to keep yours closed as well. Earlier in worship, we were asked whether we have any struggles we have to give up. Well, I'm going to ask you, again, with every eye closed between you and God, do you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Do you want to say, not only do I want you to be, we say, Savior, which means you saved me from hell because I accepted your death and I asked you to forgive me. But I want you to lead me, God. I want to surrender everything that is in my life to you, Father God. Another 5 seconds. If you want to surrender everything, keep your hand up. Okay, you can put them down. Lord, we come before you and we do surrender. We sang that one song about blessing, Lord, and the one thing I heard you say, we're going to pray right now for the prodigals. For those of us who have had family members walk away from relationship with Jesus Christ. From those of us who have had friends that are prodigals, they've walked away from their first love of Jesus. You see, God is speaking today a new hope to keep praying, to keep your eyes on the Lord, because the devil's going to tell you they're gone forever. The devil is going to have you think, what happens if they pass this earth without relationship with Jesus Christ? And God is saying today, I want you to pray for the prodigals. I want you to trust me, for there will be a day when you see me move in their midst. The devil thinks that book is closed, but I am opening that book, and I have not written the last chapter. Today is one word, is hope, that God wants us to leave this place with. I can indeed sit at a table in the presence of my enemies with Jesus because he is my hope. I'm not going to look at distractions. I'm going to look at my Savior. I'm going to look at my God. Yes, there's going to be times I'm overwhelmed emotionally, when I'm depressed, when I'm down and out, when I'm walking through the shadow of the valley of death, but his rod and his staff comfort me. God's hand is with me, and he's telling me to press on, to endure, the New Testament tells us, run the good race. This isn't a leisurely stroll. This isn't a walk in the park. At times, life is hard, and it's hard to put one foot in front of the other, but we need to press on. And it doesn't mean you stop fellowship. It doesn't mean you stop coming to church. It means that we walk this life together because that's what God has called us to do, that we encourage. If you want to be lifted up, then you serve people. You encourage them. Give and you shall receive. And I pray for hope today, Lord God, that just like Elijah's servant, we're going to see that we are surrounded by fire of horses and chariots of fire, Lord God, that you surround us, that you strengthen us, that your army will indeed protect us, Lord God. Give us eyes to see, O Lord, and help us to tell the devil to shut up, to stop giving him room in our emotions and in our thoughts. For when we entertain his lies, then he throws his accusations at us. Be lifted up today, Lord, and glorified in your name. And they all said, blessings.